Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. For F1 the movie, Brad Pitt didn't just play a Formula One driver, he became one.
You flat out down the straight, you're at 180, and there's a brick wall in front of you. And really trusting these brakes, you know, trusting the car. That first month, it was just my mantra, trust the car, trust the car, trust the car. Push, push, push more.
To make the most authentic racing movie ever, he got up close and personal with the sport, the drivers, and the cars.
It's such an audacious idea, and I can't think of any other film that's ever happened to allow us to embed ourselves into the racing season is something pretty extraordinary. We went to the base of Eau Rouge, and the cars come right by the wall. And it literally sucks the air out of your lungs. It is unbelievable.
I'm Tom Clarkson. And here on F1 Beyond the Grid, Brad Pitt tells me how he became his character Sonny Hayes, a driver given a second chance at racing in F1. Brad talks about his love of racing and the adrenaline he felt shooting scenes on the F1 starting grid or driving, actually driving, in front of hundreds of thousands of people at racetracks around the world. You'll hear the true F1 stories which inspired the movie, and how producer Lewis Hamilton was integral in making it look, sound, and feel authentic. Plus, the insane top speed that Brad hit while driving a real McLaren Formula One car. F1 the movie is in cinemas from Wednesday the 25th of June or Friday the 27th in North America, and you can find screenings near you at f1themovie.com. I sat down with Brad Pitt before the European premiere in London. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Brad, welcome to the show.
Delighted to be here.
Now, Brad, am I talking to an actor or a racing driver today?
Sadly, you're talking to an actor who has dreams of being a driver.
Look, let's wind the clock back. 20-something-year-old Brad Pitt, okay?
Yeah.
You've got the chance. Thelma and Louise is dropped on your desk. Are you going to do that or are you going to enroll at a racing school?
I probably would have stuck to it at that point, you know, once I was allowed in the ring with Gina and Susan and Ridley. But, I always grew up, you know, around it a little bit. I'm from the Ozarks, and there was always, like, stock car racing or demolition derby, you know, those racing sports that come from the moonshine era, you know, trying to outrun cops and a lot of dirt roads, you know, driving in rain, ice, you know, dirt bikes when you're that big. So wheels are comfortable to me.
Well, how naturally did you take to the role of Sonny Hayes?
I had the time of my life, and I will say I'm a little sad. I got to figure out a sequel. That's what I got to
figure
out.
Come on, we all want a sequel. But you do so much research to all of your roles, right? How much did you have to prepare for this one from a fitness point of view and also just from a driving point of view?
Well, it's not have to, you know, it was pure want to. I mean, this is one of those rare occasions when, you know, it's just a joy to get in the seat. And I think we started 4 months early, something like that, before we started filming. And, you know, at that point, we're picking up seconds. And by the end of it, you know, a year and a half later, 2 years later, it was after the strike, you know, we're fighting, you know, for those tents. But we had great, I had Luciano Bacchetta, I always drove with, and Damson had Craig Dolby, and we had Duncan Kirby, which being our third man when we needed to have some kind of battling choreography out on the track.
What was the starting point? Did you know what a racing line was when you started the movie?
Yeah, I spent my lifetime on bikes and huge MotoGP fan. In fact, it's what got me into F1 because there just wasn't enough races during the season. So then I expanded to F1 and now Indy, and you know how it goes. But I spent a lot of time on the track on a bike, just, you know, for play.
Get your knee down?
Yeah, Yeah, that's a thrill. But I understand the racing line and trail braking, and so I had a head start, you know.
What was the hardest thing to get your head around from a driving point of view?
From a driving point of view, the hardest thing, the first thing is trusting these brakes. You know, you're flat out down the straight, you're at 180, and there's a brick wall in front of you. And really trusting these brakes, it's staggering what these brakes can do. And we're, you know, an Apex car is not near what a Formula One car is. And then the next thing is really is unpuckering around those high-speed corners and really, you know, trusting the car. And that first month, it was just my mantra, trust the car, trust the car, trust the car. Push, push, push more. Because it's amazing how they can stick.
Physically, were you okay? How was the neck?
Yeah, physically all right. I mean, it takes some, sure, you're sore, but it's a good sore. You know, you feel like you earned it. And then, you know, everything builds up in time.
Was there one driver that you were basing yourself on in all of this?
No, I mean, we came at this with such a love for the sport, a love for the drivers, the history of the sport. You know, we drew from a lot of, I mean, you can probably pinpoint, looking back through this happened, you know, in 94 and this happened in 08. And this, we were drawing from all of it, but we were also, you know, we looked a lot at, and I mean this respectfully, like Fernando. You know, we're a last place team, and we needed to play with the rules. We need to get right to the edge of the rules to be competitive in any way. And that's where Sonny starts out and is rather disliked because of it.
Alex Albon said something to me. He said, even the way he puts his earplugs in, that's how we do it. It's like you'd really studied the drivers.
I guess some things you just absorb from watching it so long, because it was never even a conscious thought. I will say this, you know, our first weekend was shooting at Silverstone, and I felt a bit like a horse's ass, you know, being on, you know, the national anthem, standing on the line next to the real guys, and you just had to swallow it and go, like, this is my job, this is what I got to do. Certainly by the end of it, again, we felt like we were in our own backyard.
Tell us a little bit more about that Silverstone 2023 moment. You're on the grid with the other guys. I mean, you had 10 minutes, 9 minutes?
Yeah, no, it's nutty, but it brings an energy to the film itself. It's like a race to, like, make sure we got these scenes. We're going to shoot it on the grid. We've embedded ourselves in the race weekend. We have to prove ourselves we will not cock up the program and slow down the race in any way, and we won't be in anyone's way. And so, yeah, we do the, Damson and I do the national anthem, we turn around, we find ourselves walking with Carlos, which was cool as shit, and like, you know, these little accidents that happen, and then we get to the back of the grid and we get two takes for this scene with Tobias and Javier. But the day before, the very first thing we put on film was going out, taking the cars out on our own in front of the 100,000 fans on Quali Day. And that got my attention.
Adrenaline?
Oh, my God. I had to sit. Again, I was sitting in the car for a half hour just sweating my balls off, waiting to go, just like, you know, talking myself through it. Because this was make or break. And again, you know, we want to keep the car on the track, but we want to get as much aggression in it as we can. And I go out. I mean, we've rehearsed this. We've talked it through. We know what we're going to do. And I get out, and my comms go down. And I'm driving deaf. And I can't communicate with Luch at all. And somehow, you know, doing it enough, we just like winged it, and he knows enough to like watch out for me. He's so proficient that we were all right in the end.
And how does it work in your world when you have 9 minutes to shoot a scene. If you'd had 10 hours to do that, would the scene have been any better? Or just can you just nail it first time?
I trust in how things shape up. And I like, you know, the parameters that put around us, you know? And so we get these few minutes, and whatever we get is what's going to be chiseled in granite as far as our film is concerned. There's, you know, there's an excitement to that. It just adds to the need for speed, to borrow a line. Yeah.
Do you have a need for speed, Brad Pitt?
I've talked about this. I mean, you know, I got to hit 197 this week. I really wanted to hit 2. You know, it hurts me a little bit. 3 miles per hour short on the straight. This was at Austin. But that's actually the time you get to rest, funny enough. That's the time you get to, like, just catch your breath. It's everything else, you know? I've just never experienced anything that's just a more feeling of presence in my life, because you're so focused. But you're not white knuckling. You're just like in this like sublime groove. It is really extraordinary. And I try to explain this feeling of downforce, and I fail every time. Because you try to say like a roller coaster, but that's not even right, because you feel a fulcrum point underneath you. You're in it. I was in an aerobatic plane once, and it's the closest thing, but still, this is such a unique feeling and an absolute high.
Talking of feelings, Stirling Moss once said that, you know, the touch points for a driver are fingertips, toes, and obviously your bum.
Yeah?
That is where you're feeling what the car is doing. Look, just how sensitive are your extremities? Can you relate to that?
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, when everything's falling in place, you just feel like you're playing the most complicated instrument perfectly. You know, it's music. But yeah, I can relate to that.
How much of a step up was the F1 car? You touched on it a moment ago. You were in Austin. You were driving the 2-year-old TPC car for McLaren.
Yeah, I mean,
just how much of a step up from the F2 car?
I'm still on a high. I really am. I'm just still on a high. And I can't thank Zach Brown and the team. And spent the day out with Lando. And, wow, just what a high. What a high.
What
the
was
step
different?
Up, it's massive.
In what area?
It's massive. Well, certainly the pickup is like nothing that I'd experienced before. I mean, it's just more brakes, more speed, more cornering power. And so it's really, you know, I want to go back again and beat. I want to beat the time. I want to beat the time. I want to beat
the
time.
You're so competitive, right?
Yeah, a little bit. It happens.
And in the movie, are you and Damson competitive? Just when you're practicing at Silverstone or?
No, I knew he couldn't get close to me, so I didn't feel any. Please tell him I said that. Please.
Yeah, I'm sure. Pass okay. it on. And in terms of the training that you and Damson do, right, were there simulators? Were there driver trainers?
You know, the simulators are just like the video game simulators. I didn't like them that much. But we got spoiled, though. You know what I mean? So I didn't spend a lot of time in that. I didn't do that.
So it just grew organically? Your knowledge
yeah,
and your speed.
Yeah,
and
we had to for Vegas because we weren't going to get any practice time, and they were putting us out on the track, and we had a 10-minute window, and we'd never been. It's late at night, and it's cold, it's wet, and this is coming from a tourist. Man, it is. It's an adventure.
Did you have a favorite track in all the filming?
I have a real love for Silverstone because, you know, we got our footing there, and we got to live there for a couple of months. And I mean, how spoiled are we? And then I have a real soft spot for Abu Dhabi because we spent another couple of months there and we finish up the film there. But the high of highs, Spa. Oh, my God. 4.3 miles, 100-meter elevation change through the woods in the back. This Puan corner, it's double. It's off camber and you're coming downhill into it. It's this so, such this smooth, like, graceful feeling. And then, of course, Eau Rouge. And we went to the bottom of Eau Rouge. Tim Bampton at F1 took us down to the bottom, the base of Eau Rouge, and he said, turn your backs, just look up the hill, and wait. And the cars come right by the wall, and that was Fernando who went by that first one, and it literally sucks the air out of your lungs. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Was that before you'd driven it?
That was that same weekend we were driving.
Yeah, but had you been out on track at that point?
I'd been out, but okay. Yeah, I'm not doing what Fernando's doing. When I first saw him, like, you know, flat out around cops at Silverstone, is like, it is staggering. It is breathtaking.
This episode is sponsored by Ridge. I think a lot of you might relate to this. You know when you're all suited and booted up for an event, maybe a wedding or just a sharp outfit for a night out, the last thing you want is a bulky wallet making your jacket bulge like you've got a sandwich stuffed in your pocket. It totally ruins the look, doesn't it? That's one of the first things I noticed with my Ridge wallet. It's so slim. I can slide in a couple of cards, my driving license, even a hotel key card, and it all sits flat, neat, and it's incredibly durable. I've been using my Ridge wallet and key case for a couple of weeks now, and honestly, I love them. The build is solid, mine's in slate grey, and it looks like something lifted straight off an F1 chassis. When I'm filming episodes for the podcast or doing interviews on camera, I'm often sitting down, and the last thing I want is my keys and my wallet sticking out. But with Ridge, I barely notice them. The key case is just as clever. It's roughly the size of a USB stick, and your keys fold neatly inside. No jingling, nothing poking you in the leg, and way more comfortable in your pocket. We always talk in racing about marginal gains, little tweaks that make a big difference. That's exactly what Ridge delivers. Once you start using it, you'll wonder why you didn't switch sooner. All Ridge products come with a lifetime warranty, so this is literally the last wallet you'll ever have to buy. And with over 50 colours and styles to choose from, you might as well get something you really love. For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off at Ridge by using the code GRID at checkout. Just head to ridge.com and use the code GRID and you're all set. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that our show sent you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
F1 Beyond the Grid is an official F1 podcast where the sport's fastest stars slow down and open up. Check out our previous episodes for in-depth conversations with Lewis Hamilton and more of the biggest names from F1 past and present. You can also watch episodes on the F1 YouTube channel. And if you want more official F1 podcasts, listen to F1 Nation for expert insight on every race and F1 Explains for answers to your questions about the sport.
Now, Brad, you guys were embedded in Formula One for a long period. What surprised you about the sport?
We're coming at it in such awe. And, I remember seeing, my earliest memory is Jackie Stewart and Plaid. I mean, that's how far I go back. And just being a wee kid, and it's on Wild World of Sports for us on Sundays. What strikes me back? I don't know, man. I'm still downloading this thing. Like, I miss it. I miss it now. It's crazy they let us in. They opened the gates for us. We couldn't have done it without F1. We couldn't have done it without the teams and the team principals and Lewis, starting with Lewis, who informed so much of our script and really, opened the doors for us. We based Sonny's past on Martin Donnelly's crash, and Martin was so gracious to give us his footage and to allow us to build our character around that. But, I mean, we shot at the Sim in Mercedes. We shot Williams, we shot, of course, McLaren is our headquarters, and everyone opened the doors for us in such a amazing way. And you see, there's such a big part of it, right down to our commentators with Crofty and Martin, and it's such an audacious idea, and I can't think of any other film that's ever happened to allow us to embed ourselves into the racing season. Is something pretty extraordinary.
You say that, you look at various things in history, you took inspiration from it. Did you take inspiration from previous racing movies? I'm thinking Grand Prix, Rush.
Well, Grand Prix, Le Mans, and we call ourselves F1. We're in that slipstream, certainly. And I've seen all of those, of course, multiple times. And I only watched Le Mans again for the racing footage, because our goal was to be more visceral, to be more experiential than even that film, which to me is the pinnacle of, at least as far as shooting racing, showing speed, showing the the forces, the physics, you know, on the body and on the car.
Was Steve McQueen, who was in Le Mans, was he a bit of a hero of yours?
Well, of course. I mean, just starting out as an actor, he's a hero. He's one of those guys, you know, Redford Newman, McQueen, Hackman, Hoffman, Brando. You know, he's that guy, Duvall. I mean, I can go on. He's one of those guys. So certainly, but not so much because of the racing. We just always admired him that he could straddle both lines. Newman too.
Well, you mentioned Paul Newman. He went on to have a pretty successful career as a racing driver, actually. He won his class in the Daytona 24 Hours.
Yeah.
Are we going to see you do something like that?
I thought about, you know, I enjoy it so much, and I know I could be competitive at some level, what would have to be proven. I think there's still a lot to learn as far as racecraft. I think I'm getting a really, truly late start. I think Newman started at 50, I think, or early 50s.
But you've done these track days on the bikes and things.
Yeah, but it's, you know, fun, mates, friends, you know, hacking it up a bit. And there's a way to continue to do that.
I could see you and Lewis, nice team together, doing some endurance
really?
Racing.
Really?
Yeah, come on.
Really? So I put us behind, then he makes up for everything.
Tell us a little bit more about your relationship with Lewis. I mean, you've said that he helped with the script and he was an integral part of everything that went on. But what about your own personal relationship with him? When did you first meet him?
He is such a gentleman, so kind. Even his texts are always so, like, kind and formal. There's a formality even of respect and politeness. And but we drew on him a lot. I mean, we had 12-hour sessions in this very hotel in London, you know, where we just, like, what about this? What about that? What about this? And he would take us through, and he would, you know, it had to pass his smell test, you know, to keep us within the parameters of reality. Because, you know, we're Hollywood, and we like a bit of drama. You know, this is so smart of Joe to, when he first came up with this idea, you know, to call Lewis and to get 7-time world champion on board to help us make the introductions and open up the doors and sell this idea. I mention that because that was just after the 21 season. And at the same time with us, he was nothing but grace and business and taking us through racing. He got, talking about feeling like a knob, he got in the first time I was on the track was a little Porsche track, you know, south of L.A., and he got in the car with me. I'm like, all right, bud, here we go.
What was the first bit of feedback
you Nothing gave? But kindness. I think they were actually testing me out. I didn't know that at the time, but I think they were actually like, let's see, can you keep it on the track? I want to add one more thing about Lewis.
Because
we found our ending in our film from this description, almost a spiritual description that Lewis describes when everything's in place. And we just wouldn't have our movie without him. Because even in our post, I mean, this man's race knowledge is staggering. He could tell, of course, we're in a, you know, the Apex car is built on a F2 and it's stretched, and we have aero package from Mercedes. So we had to resound the gears for the final picture to make it sound like F1. His knowledge is so spot on. He would go, no, that's fourth gear. You need to be in fifth gear here. On a particular corner, on a particular track, he would be going, no, you know what? Down the back straight there, there's this reverb. It comes off the left wall. Add that into the left channel. Like
that's
just
insane.
Staggering.
Tell me more then about having Lewis sat next to you in that Porsche in that little track south of LA, right? Did he drive you, first of all?
Yeah, it was more like,
right,
yeah.
What impressed you about Lewis Hamilton when he was behind the wheel?
He was having a laugh. I think it was the first time he'd been back on the track, you know, since the 21 season. It was that spring or summer, and he was having a laugh, man. As much as he could scare me, like, he was having a laugh. We went off. We came out this carousel thing, which is this bank bit, and came off and into the gravel. And the wall's right here, and he's howling, having a great time.
I'd love to know what sort of advice, because every time I've sat next to a Formula One driver, one thing that struck me is the time that they have, right? Everything seems to slow down. They seem to have way more time than your average human being. Did that strike you about him?
I think that's absolutely true. And even I feel a hint of that as a tourist in the sport. You know, time, you have a different relationship with time. Like, as I say, even down this straight at
197.
197.
Sorry.
You know, that's, again, that's the only time you have time to, like, think about, like, your breakfast that morning or...
Did you get nervous before driving the car?
I got nervous in the beginning going out in front of the crowd because, again, I didn't want to... I was going to cock up the whole, like, F1 schedule if, you know, if I took a spin, you know, and couldn't get the thing started back, you know, again or something. So that had my attention, you know.
But the actual driving?
No, the driving, it feels like you just want to go and go again and go again. In fact, in the last week at Abu Dhabi, I was counting down, like, okay, I got 3 more drives. I got 2 more drives.
Oh, it's the last drive.
Yeah. And then... They squeaked, and they came up with an excuse for me to get another one, because it was at night and extraordinary.
This movie, what are you most proud of?
I'm proud of, it is the most visceral feeling you will get in a race car of anything put on film so far. But I'm most proud of our story, because it's one thing to get a great racing film, which Le Mans is, but they've struggled with story. They were kind of making up as they went along. We have a story that... appeals to anyone and everyone because it's emotional. It's really moving. It's spiritual even at the end. The thing I'm most proud of is, and that I think was the greatest difficulty as we were putting the script together, was how to thread this needle of not talking down to diehard fans that know this sport like a religion, but still be, you know, not talk over newcomers who, you know, are just being introduced to the sport. That was like a negotiation of 2 years right to the very end.
Now, Brad, you're flat out promoting the movie now. Are you going to get some downtime afterwards? Are you going to relax in a way that a Formula One driver would? You know, like they're adrenaline junkies. Lewis goes parachuting and stuff. Is that the kind of thing?
No, I'm gonna take a little week off, a little 10 days off with my lady friend, and then I start something with some friends in L.A. We're gonna do this Tarantino script that Fincher's gonna direct, and I don't know. I feel like telling a few more stories here, you know, at this moment in time.
Would you like to see a sequel to Formula One, the movie?
Fuck yeah, man! Absolutely.
You heard it here first.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
If I've aged out, you know, still, I would love to see a sequel.
You could be team principal, team owner, something like
that.
Yeah,
that'd be frustrating, but.
Brad, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. Can I just end this what I call the traditional way?
Okay.
I've asked everyone on the pod this year. F1 is 75 years old this year. Do you have a favorite moment in the history of the sport?
Okay. I have this moment that's seared in my head. I watched, you know, a lot of Martin Donnelly because we built Sonny's past around his historic crash at Jerez. And they're still, you know, driving with, you know, 5 on the floor. And there is this camera shot from here. It parallels Senna's lap around Monaco in a way. But the camera's right here, and you see him with shifting and coming back down and shifting. And these guys, I still don't know how they did it. If they're heel-toeing, you know, the brake to the gas. But you see him, and he's all over the stick and driving at these crazy speeds with amazing vibrations. And it gets you in the heart.
Can you?
I want to try. I really want to try. I want to see how they were doing that. I don't understand.
It's a real art form.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, thank you so much for coming on the show. Great to speak to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed this chat with Brad. What a charming and engaging man he is. And what truly came across to me was his passion for Formula One. He loves it, and he always has done. Note his references to Jackie Stewart from the early 70s. I think he loved the challenge of driving the cars in the movie, and he was quick. I've spoken to the racing teams. And the racing scenes in F1 the movie are nothing short of breathtaking. As the movie's director Joe Kosinski said at the European premiere in London's Leicester Square, Brad was born to play the role of Sonny Hayes. Thanks for your time, Brad. It was great to chat. And I hope you at home all enjoy watching the movie on the big screen. You can find showtimes near you at f1themovie.com. It's in cinemas from Wednesday the 25th of June or Friday the 27th in North America.
While you're here, why not check out our previous episodes of F1 Beyond the Grid? Our back catalogue has literally hundreds of in-depth conversations with world champions, race winners, current stars, and legends of Formula One. Download the all-new F1 app and follow us on social media for all the latest F1 news, videos, and stats. And if you want to experience a Grand Prix for yourself, you can book your seat at a race this season at tickets.formula1.com. Well, that's it for now. Thank you very much for listening. F1 Beyond the Grid is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios. Until next time, keep it flat out.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
Early screenings have audiences raving. F1 the movie is absolutely incredible.
Be ready.
Ready for what?
From the director of Top Gun Maverick.
I'm offering you a seat in Formula One, the absolute best in the world.
It's a fun, fast-paced thrill ride with a ton of heart.
You're crazy, bro.
And a reminder of why we love summer movies.
Anything else, Professor?
Drive fast.
I'll see you down the road.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.